Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Doug Huffman, author of The Transdimensional Delusion, was born and raised on a rural South Dakota farm in the 1950s. Always had an insatiable love for truth, biblical, spiritual, and otherwise. Doug grew up in a messianic Christian church, married a young woman from that denomination. They raised two children. He became a building contractor, and everything was good until he began questioning his church's misquoting of plain scripture in the late 1990s. He was labeled a troublemaker and no longer welcome. He began studying the scriptures and other scripture books, once a part of the OT canon, for what they actually said without church interoperation. That's when Doug said he discovered the Creator and Messiah's true names and literally stepped into a whole new world of understanding and spiritual relationship. That new understanding became like a tsunami to him, which led him to writing his many books, among them Religion, Humanity's Great Hope for or Angelic Hoax, The Transdimensional Puppet Master, and the book we'll be talking about primarily on today's program, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion. Author Doug Huffman, our guest on This Week in America. Doug, welcome to the program. Looking forward to talking with you.
Hello. Thanks.
So much to talk about here. The book is very thought-provoking, so well done, receiving excellent reviews. I've been looking forward to this. Let's jump into it right away. Dragons, very popular in our current culture, but where does that idea originate from? And does the Bible, for instance, tell us the dragons were or are actually real?
Well, the common belief is that dragons and the Bible have nothing in common, per se. But if we're to accept the Bible as true, then we have no choice but to accept the dragons are real. Because in Job 41, we have a perfect description of a dragon. We're told there it could talk, was invincible, had legs with terrible claws, and could fly. The incredible clincher is it also had glowing red eyes and breathed fire and smoke. I mean, how can you have a more perfect description of a dragon? And that's straight out of the Bible.
It's fascinating. One of the so many very interesting thoughts that you will get in Doug's book. The book is available at globalsummonhouse.com. His website is truthstrangerthanfiction.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to get more information on Doug, his other books, and the book we're talking about, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion. With dragons in mind, Revelation 12 tells us of a dragon that initiated a war against the Creator and his angels. Does the Bible also tell us when and where that war was fought?
Well, first of all, that is a plain scripture there of dragons. A lot of people say, well, it's just being metaphorical, but it does say dragon, and that is correct translation. Especially when you start putting other Old Testament scriptures together with that. In Ezekiel and Isaiah, we both have bits and pieces of a war that this dragon launched against the angels, with a third of the angels' angelic realm joining it in the battle. Ezekiel 28 tells us that this creature was created perfect, not only in beauty, but apparently in every other way. In fact, it apparently had scales which were literal jewels. Imagine that. No wonder Eve was blown away when confronting it in the garden. Because obviously, well, as we go on here, you'll see that that is what was in the garden, the same creature. at any rate, its beauty apparently went to its head. And in Isaiah 14, we find where it's called Lucifer. We find it decided it wanted a throne with or next to or above the Creator. Well, obviously, that didn't go over too well, and there was a battle, and it was thrown to Earth after losing, and also losing its home planet, Mars. You see, in Ezekiel 28, in this lament, which is like a warning, to this angel, there the word angel was translated king. Angel and king are the same word in Hebrew. And it was the lament was against the king or the angel of Tyre. Well, Tyre is the Phoenician word for Mars. So that gives us a clue as to where this creature resided and came from, Mars. At any rate, we next find it being planted on Earth and seething with vengeance in the Garden of Eden.
Just so much information here, and you'll be fascinated as you're reading this book. And it, again, I use thought-provoking. This really is. Doug has done so much research, and we've given a little bit of background, and we'll talk more about that as our conversation continues. It's Doug Huffman. That's H-U-F-F-M-A-N, if you're Googling. This book is The Grand Transdimensional Delusion, book available at globalsummithouse.com. Doug's website is truthstrangerthanfiction.com, and of course, book available basically wherever books are sold. Okay, let's continue with the, with this part of the conversation in talking about dragons. Considering that the reptile dragon at the Garden of Eden was called the craftiest of all beasts of the field, actually being an angel, does that mean there are more angelic animals?
Well, again, we have to pay attention to that key word, beasts.
Yes.
This was not a snake. It was a beast. And and it was also an angel, and it was the craftiest. So, you know, obviously it was not being compared to the average cow or dog that we know of in this physical realm. Anyway, to reinforce this concept of angelic beasts, all we have to do is go to Genesis 26, where we find that the angels were created after their kind. Well, you can't create something after its kind if its kind doesn't already exist, right?
Yes.
So what exists before the physical animals? Well, we have the angelic realm, the angels that were created first. Because in Job 38, it tells us that they sang for joy at the creation of the earth and humanity. So obviously they came first, and the physical animals were created after that kind.
Doug Huffman, our guest on the program, author of several books. This one, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion. I'll give you all the information as we go through the interview here. Does the Bible teach anything about a female part of the Godhead? After all, we see male and female everywhere, but it doesn't seem in the spirit realm.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because if you look around, you see male and female everywhere, obviously. And in most religions in the world, they also have female deities. But for some reason, Christianity said they didn't like the concept or refuse it or don't believe it, whatever. But what does the Bible say? Well, if we go to Genesis, we find the creators creating man after their kind, which, of course, was male and female. And if we go to Proverbs 8, we'll find this female entity or deity proclaiming herself. Unfortunately, apparently the translators were unable to accept the idea of a female deity, so they changed her name, which was in the Hebrew Chokmah, to Wisdom. But she tells us there in Proverbs 8:22 that she was the first of Yahweh's creations. Okay, yeah, he's the Father Creator. But in order to create wisdom, doesn't the one creating the wisdom also have to be wise or be wisdom? Well, of course, which would make creating again redundant. So, she goes on to tell us in verses 30 through 31 that how she frolicked and flirted before the Creator. That's Yahweh. Well, an aspect of reasoning certainly does not frolic and flirt, does it?
Yeah,
a close
exactly.
Explanation of the original words definitely shows a male-female relationship. She goes on to tell us in verses 29 through 30 how she was beside him, that is Yahweh, as a master craftsman when he created the earth. Wow. Obviously, we're being enlightened to a separate being here.
Yes.
Not some aspect of mental function. Besides, she tells us in Proverbs 32, listen to me, my children, as a mother would address her children. She tells us in verse 35, he who finds me also finds life. At any rate, if we go back in Proverbs, after what she told us in Proverbs 8, we find it confirmed in Genesis, where we find the plural language, let us make man, and of course that includes woman, after our image, and they made them male and female. Well, there you go. Now we know who created mankind. It was a male and a female creating mankind in their, man and womankind in their image.
I mentioned this book will get you thinking. There is so much there, and this is why the book is resonating so well. Other people, it started with Doug having questions that he couldn't get answered, and so many people have questions as well. Part of that is, and I'm going to ask you because I'm getting older by the day here, what does the Bible actually teach us what happens when we die, like going to heaven or hell?
Well, first of all, one of the biggest misunderstandings, probably at least in Christianity, is that we go to heaven, that the Bible tells us we go to heaven or hell when we die. The truth is, you won't find it in the Bible because it's not there. That's kind of a shock for most people.
Well, yeah, now repeat that again because you shocked me when you said that. It's actually not in the Bible.
No, no. The Bible, the only way it's put in there is it's basically forced in there by tradition. And people just don't want to accept that death actually means death, so they try to force the Bible. Scriptures that are, you know, kind of dance around that issue, they force them to say that, yeah, we do go to heaven or hell, but it doesn't actually say that. It was one of the reasons I got in trouble in my own church because I started pointing out problems like that. So wait a minute, it doesn't quite say that, so don't say it says that when it doesn't. Besides, we're told in Ecclesiastes 9, it says that the dead know nothing. How could the dead know nothing if they're in heaven or hell? See, that makes no sense.
Yes.
Besides, another little tell here is that the immortal soul is the only thing that all the major religions on earth share. How interesting is that? They don't share any other beliefs except that one. And it's not in the Bible. So what does that tell us? Anyway, it all goes back to what I call the immortal lie, which we find in the Garden of Eden. There the beast, the dragon, told Eve, you will not surely die. No, you'll be like the gods, i.e. immortal. So guess what? That's what the religions of the world have been teaching ever since.
A fascinating conversation, a fascinating book, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion by Doug Huffman, our guest on the program. Googling, that's H-U-F-F-M-A-N. Boy, time is going by so quickly here, and so many questions to talk about. Does the Bible teach we were born to die, or do we really have a choice not to?
Well, that's an interesting question also. In fact, that's a big one. Most everyone believes that we have to die. We have no choice. Because after all, you look around, what do you see? Well, everyone dying.
Yes.
So doesn't that prove that we have to die? Well, here again, this is one of those shocking truths the Bible does not teach, that is, that we have to die. In fact, in Deuteronomy 30, there's I wouldn't call it a story, but that's where the Creator on Mount Sinai came and offered the people there a choice. He said, I set before you life and death. And he says, choose life, that you may not die. And, of course, we have a few other scriptures that back that up, like in Ezekiel 18, or no, yeah, it is 18. Verses 31 through 30, where it says that the Creator takes no pleasure in anyone's death, not even the wicked. So there we have firsthand proof that the Creator does not want us to die. And anyway, when you think about it, were we really created to die? I mean, that's absurd. No, I've never accepted that, and now I know why. And the Bible doesn't teach it. We do, according to these scriptures, according to what the scriptures actually tell us, we can choose life over death. That is immortality.
I'm just letting that sink in here for a second. This is such a fascinating conversation with Doug Huffman, our guest on the program. The book is The Grand Transdimensional Delusion. He has a website, truthstrangerthanfiction.com. Information on this book and the others that Doug has written. Does the Bible teach that Adam and Eve were the first humans created? As we're talking about Adam and Eve, I think that's the common thought that most people have, the Bible says Adam and Eve were the first humans. Were they the first created?
Well, again, that's what's commonly taught in Christianity. Other religions teach other things, but Christianity teaches that Adam and Eve were the first. But again, that is not exactly what the Bible shows us, not Genesis. Genesis 1 does not show Adam and Eve being the first creation. In fact, if we go back to Jeremiah 4, we have a story there, a lament, I guess, or no, it's just an observation by the Creator where he's looking at the earth and saw how the mountains were dancing and the cities had all been broken down and the world, the earth, had become tohu and bohu, which was the Hebrew word for empty and void. And it says there was no man to be found. So obviously mankind had been there and now was gone. All the cities were broken down. Mankind was now all dead. Anyway, in fact, we go back to Genesis 1 and verse 2. Guess what we find? That scripture tells us, and the earth had become tohu and bohu, that is empty and void. So those two scriptures, they back each other up. And the earth was not created in a destroyed state. No, it was created perfect, as we find in Job, where it talks about how the earth was created perfectly. It wasn't created in chaos or destroyed condition. So Genesis 1 basically is a story of the rebuilding, the recreating of the earth, as well as mankind after the first ones were destroyed.
Did the Creator lose most of his chosen people?
Well, again, that's a crazy thought. Personally, I believe in a God who's very powerful and all-knowing. And we have a scripture where he tells us that he has named every star, which has to be in the trillions. So with that thought in mind, did he really lose his, 10 of his tribes of people? That makes no sense. Personally, what I say in this situation is, if that is the kind of God you worship, I suggest maybe you should start looking around for another one, because that's kind of a pathetic God, if you ask me, who would lose his own people. No, he did not lose his people, and we're all still here. And what happened was, when the Assyrians came in, when Sennacherib came in and destroyed the northern 10 tribes of Israel and took them into captivity, and then Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, then conquered the Assyrians. And so the Assyrians were forced to release all their Israelite slaves that they had. Well, the Israelite slaves then fled west over the Caucasus Mountains into northern Europe, and have become known as the Caucasians to this day. The Caucasians are the modern descendants of those ancient 10 tribes.
Much more in Doug's book, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion, book available, globalsummonhouse.com. His website, truthstrangerthanfiction.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. Time for a couple of more questions here. We could talk for hours with all the information that Doug has in his book. We'll encourage you to pick up a copy of the book, read it, and start thinking. What does the Bible tell us about the future of Earth and the future of humanity?
Well, again, one of the things that we are not taught in religions per se, or especially in a lot of the Christian churches, is what the Creator's plans for us and the earth and humanity is. There's a lot of ideas thrown around there about heaven and, living in heaven or living on earth, or it's all very confusing. But the truth is, the whole plan was outlined for our ancient forefathers back in the book of Leviticus. And he created a feast for each phase of the plan. And that plan, of course, he has not deviated to this day. And because it's taken such a long period of time to fulfill this plan, people have relegated it to myth and legend and ancient history that has no relevance upon us now. But as 2 Peter 3:8 tells us, that a day in the spirit realm is like 1,000 years to us. Well, so with that in mind, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, that was just earlier this week for them. See, so time, for us, time has been our enemy, and because of the long period of time, we've just basically lost track of all what Yahweh's doing. But for him, this only involves a week. No big deal. He's not deviated from the plan. He's not gone from plan A to plan B, or had to start over again because he screwed up. No, he doesn't screw up. Anyway, in those plans, there are two harvests told. And one is a spring harvest, which was celebrated. Of course, being a farmer, I know all about the harvesting the farm. In the spring, there is a spring harvest, and then in the fall, there's a fall harvest. And after the spring harvest then was taken in, the fields were plowed up, and then the fall harvest was planted. Well, back in the first century, if we pay attention, we find the Passover and unleavened bread and the wave sheaf. Those are what began the spring harvest. And then the spring harvest was concluded with the countdown 50 days or 50 years later. So to say that the spring harvest began in the first century, but then it was never completed, is an absurdity. Of course it was completed. We've just been taught because the powers that be don't want us knowing that truth. But at any rate, as time has gone by now the fall harvest has come upon us. And the fall harvest, of course, starts and begins with the feast, a feast called the Feast of Trumpets. Well, interestingly, one of the things we find in Scripture is that names were very often used as teachings and prophecies. Like Methuselah, for instance, it meant, when I die, it will come. That was a reference to the Great Flood. And sure enough, immediately after, within the year after Methuselah died, the Great Flood came. So here, knowing that back in the early or mid teens, I was really thinking about this and thinking, you know, how are we going to know if this Feast of Trumpets is here? Because that begins the fall harvest. And of course, the fall harvest comes with a timeline. There's 10 days in between the spring or the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement's the great humbling. That's when the world's been brought to its knees. So when the Feast of Trumpets happens in real time, we have 10 years before all hell has, well, broken loose.
Yes.
And now, if we look back, we see this guy named Donald Trump, and this has nothing to do with who he is or whatever. It's just that he brought the name. Donald Trump means trumpet king or ruling trumpet. And regardless of your politics, whether you like him or don't like him, you know, personally, I didn't care for him, but I paid attention to the name. And what really clinched it, I wasn't ready to quite believe it, but on the actual celebration of the Feast of Trumpets 2017, after Donald Trump miraculously became president, we had the Revelation 12 sign of the dragon, and Revelation 12 was seen in real time. In real time. So that, you want to talk about a confirmation of Donald, the name Donald Trump being the arrival of the fall harvest season. Well, there it is. We can take it or leave it.
Doug Huffman, our guest on the program, and that's Huffman. You'll want to Google. I'll make it very easy for you. His website, very easy to remember, truthstrangerthanfiction.com. All this information, globalsummithouse.com, all of that is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So just go to the website, check out, and get all of the information there. A couple of thoughts here, questions, rapidly running out of time. We're taught that, commonly taught, that the Bible is complete. The Bible is infallible. Is that true? Is the modern Bible complete and infallible?
Well, first of all, we have to go back to, well, let's just bring in common sense here. If you look around, we see thousands of different, or hundreds at least, of different translations. Some of them are radically different. Okay? And so obviously every word is not inspired. I mean, come on. That's not possible.
Yes.
Because if it were, they'd all be exactly the same. And secondly, if we go back to the 1611 First King James edition, which I have a copy of, you'll find 10 more books in there than we have in our modern King James. Well, wait a minute. We have a problem, Houston. Did the Creator make a mistake by having those 10 books included there? Or did he make a mistake taking them out? It's one or the other. We can't have it both ways. So basically, that proves right there that at least the books that we have were not inspired.
Boy, so much
by the Creator.
So much in this conversation and so much more in Doug's book, The Grand Transdimensional Delusion. I'm going to take a minute here at the end. What are you working on now, and what kind of response are you getting?
Well, we'll have to wait and see on that, because I've just published 3 books. Well, the last one is still in publication. They haven't finished it yet. The Transdimensional Puppet Masters, and they all are related, but they are all very different. There's a lot of information in the different ones that aren't in the others. So I don't think anyone will get bored reading all 3 of them.
Yeah,
Religion, Humanity's Great Hope, or Angelic Hoax. That one deals primarily just with the Bible. But these others deal more with the spirit realm. And, of course, the one that you're talking here that is the one that brings the spirit realm and the Bible and humanity all together.
And information,
it's an outline of the plan.
And all of the information, if you go to Doug's website, truthstrangerthaninfection.com, you'll get the information on all of the books that Doug has written and is writing. Global Summit House, you'll find the book as well, globalsummithouse.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Doug, it's been fascinating having you on the program. You really have us thinking. You've gone through a lot yourself. You described it as one of the worst experiences of your life, as you're told that you're a troublemaker and thrown out of something you really love just because you had an inquisitive mind, and suddenly you were labeled as a troublemaker. But out of all of that has really come some powerful messages that you have in your book. Thank you so much for spending time with us on the program today.
Can I make one more comment
before course,
we go
yes,
off?
Of course, yes.
On my website, I have what are called mini studies. They're little 2-page short articles on all these different subjects that are also included in the books. So if people don't want the book and they just want little bits and pieces, there they are.
And you'll want, after you do that, you'll want the book because there is so much there. But a lot of great information at Doug's website. And again, it's Doug Huffman, H-U-F-F-M-A-N. His website is truthstrangerthanfiction.com. Book also available, globalsummithouse.com, Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.